And joining us now is Goatree. Good to have him on. he was a little bit slow to answer the phone because he said we showed up as telemarketers. Tell us a little bit about how do we look when we're giving you a call, because we're doing an over the phone interview. How did it show up on your side?
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about this lunatic English judge. And I'm sitting here prepped for that, and you're showing up as a telemarketer from Oxford, England. And I'm like, oh, no, they've already got me?
Yeah, that's well, you're not paranoid if they're actually paying attention to you, right? And so what we're going to talk about is this situation coming out of the UK. It's Big Brother through the back door. And Goatree really wanted to talk about this, and I do too. It is a case, and I'll set it up just a little bit, and you can fill in the details. This is a court case out of the UK telling Apple that they have to give them full access to all of the encrypted information that's on iCloud and other places like that. A very, very dangerous precedent. And of course, even if other countries don't follow this same precedent against other companies, we're part of Five Eyes with them. And so anything that the UK government gets, they can share with the CIA or the NSA or these American government entities, because that's the whole purpose of Five Eyes. They set this thing up and they use it, this partnership, saying, we'll give you the stuff that you're not legally allowed to collect, but we don't have any prohibition on it. And so you can spy on Americans. Of course, they do it as well. But if they get caught, they've got some legal jeopardy. But the Brits can do it, and they can hand all that information over to the CIA or the NSA or whoever wants it in the American government. The same thing, the same arrangement that they've got with corporations. And so there's this revolving door that even if they followed the law and even if we had stringent laws, they've got ways to get around it. So, yeah, tell us what you know about this, Goatree.
Well, now, you know, I'm not an expert on English law. But the way I'm reading this is they are asking Apple to deactivate all their encryption on these cloud servers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, it's bad enough that we're dealing with the government and the CIA and the Five Eyes and all these other people. But if you disable this encryption, now you've added another aspect of it, hackers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in theory, people don't practice very good online safety. And pretty much everybody's passwords are the same. No one goes through the trouble of changing passwords. And all this information is available on the dark web. I mean,
yeah, we've talked about that before with infrastructure, when you talk about the different devices that are out there on the railroads, as well as, you know, a more trivial example are the road signs that are out there. They ship with a de facto password, and they don't bother to change it, and that's why people can go around and put up signs saying, Raptors ahead, beware, there's zombies on the highway ahead, and that type of thing. But it can be really serious if somebody gets the default password for some switching circuitry on a train track or something, or as you've pointed out, they have these little shacks, and if they've changed the password, they'll just write the password on the shack wall so that it's not inconvenient for somebody coming in there. So yeah, you're talking about people being very careless with security issues like that. But you know, Goatree, even if the stuff is encrypted, and even if only the UK government had it, governments are getting broken into all the time anyway. I mean, you know, the NSA got hacked,
yeah.
The CIA got hacked.
So I'm sitting here like there's some insignificant British magistrate, judge, whatever they call these guys, wears a goofy little wig that looks worse than Maxine Waters. Telling Apple that they have to do away with all the encryption and put my stuff at risk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, dude, I'm sitting here in Texas, And I know some black hat skills. Maybe I'll just hack you and see how you like that. You see, these people, they're totally out of control right now. They don't think through their actions. They've got some income. And you know what? If you read what I sent you, it's illegal for us to talk about this. We could be put in jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they have said that they will, you Americans, you know, the stuff that you're talking about, will come and get you, that type of thing. But, they've threatened Americans out of the U.K. And, of course, the U.K. is really kind of hanging their hat, or I guess we could say they're hanging their wig on being the worst tyrants anywhere. I mean, they've gone full into all of this climate change stuff. Their utilities are like 4 to 5 times higher than they are for the electricity than even in Germany. And the oppression that they've got there, the people that they have arrested over publications on Facebook and other things like that. But that's not enough. Now they want to be able to read your mail and get you in trouble for that. And, of course, the situation with Apple is that Apple has in the past refused to turn over passwords to the FBI and others. And they say that they don't have the ability to read what you put on their servers either. But now they're demanding that they build this backdoor capability into it. And we've talked about this with all these different hacks. What's going on with the backdoor? Talk a little bit about that and all the different backdoors that are put in for the various types of institutions and so much of the software that's out there.
Well, you know, David, it was kind of strange. Yesterday, I said, I've got a file I use just for your show. And last time I was on was July 15th. And I'm looking over these notes, and I'm like, I don't even have to update these.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's just a different variant. Yeah. And, you know, how long have you and I this goes back to old InfoWar days, 10, 12 years? We've been sitting here talking about these back doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got these politicians. That's a conspiracy theory. Well, guess what? These politicians allowed all this to happen. And now they've lost control of the back doors. And they're running around storming the Department of Education stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was, I played a clip of John Kiriakou and a guy that's a former CIA agent, as was John Kiriakou. He went to jail for exposing the lies behind the weapons of mass destruction and the torture behind it. But and Trump promoted the woman who did all that stuff, made her head of the CIA. But we were told all that by James Clapper back in 2013. And he said, no, we're not listening to Americans. And he lied under oath. And it was just like 2 months later that Snowden's release of information showed that he was lying. But, of course, no senators, none of them ever came after him for committing perjury. Not any Republicans, of course, not any Democrats, but nobody ever came after him. It's just there's this conspiracy of silence and this conspiracy to undermine the Constitution, the same way that we see them all pretending that we're in a climate treaty, the Paris Climate Treaty, that we're not in. It's interesting to see how the Uniparty operates. And you talk about how nothing fundamentally changes. We talk about this all the time, except that they're getting more bold and it's more and more out in the open as we look at this kind of stuff. Whistler says the British have tried to censor American speech before. Didn't work out too well for them then. Of course, the U.S. was a better country back then. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we had committees of correspondence, which maybe we're going to have to go back to pen and paper to try to get information around, aren't we?
Well, you know, the thing is, and I'm going to throw out a name, and he was the godfather of all this, and that was William Denny. And you remember, this goes back to the turn of the century, 21st century. He's getting on up there in age. And anyhow, he was disclosing all this, and, you know, back in 2000, and nothing changes. And you bring up... from time to time, man, I just drew a blank.
Well, you know, one of the things William Benny said when I interviewed him, he said, Hayden says, we're only after your metadata. We're not trying to listen. We're not listening to your conversations. We're not reading your emails. Now they want to read your emails. So that kind of makes a lie out of that. But he says, we're just looking at your metadata. What's the problem with that? And William Binney said, well, that's even more important because it's even easier to, you know, they can feed the metadata in and they can analyze it in a more concise way than they could if they listened to your conversations or read your emails. But of course, now with artificial intelligence, they can listen to your conversations, they can read your emails, and they can do that on a vast scale, doing it for everybody at once and draw their own conclusions out of it.
Well, they can also replicate your personality off of it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can take and compile all these phrases that you just used. We all have these habits. And they can replicate all this. And, you know, if they really wanted to, they could get into your email and send you out a blast of all your users saying crazy stuff. Well, you don't have no problem with that. But anyhow.
Well, you know, I think one of the reasons that, the mask has come off, but of course, you know, they're putting a gag order on Apple. But in general, the fact that we've got Davos out there saying we've got to focus on misinformation, disinformation, and censorship, and that's got to be our number one thing. I think the reason that they're talking about it so openly, in my opinion, is because of AI. And because that the massive power that AI brings to them to be able to data mine and correlate and to make assumptions about this stuff, this is hanging out there, this massive amount of power that they have over us, and it is so tantalizing, so intoxicating, that they can't bring themselves to even bother to try to cover up. They just got to go for it as fast as they can, pedal to the metal. I think that's why we're seeing so much of this stuff being done out in the open, because the capability that they're going to be implementing on us in a very short time is unlike anything that we've ever seen before in history.
Well, yes, and, you know, the thing about it is we made it exponentially easier on them.
Yeah.
We're feeding AI. You really want to know what's came down. I know it morphed into this. It was not intended to be this way. But by this social media, let's say Twitter, you can use Facebook, They're feeding your information into AI. And Trying to consensus on what people want to hear.
That's right.
Now, it was like metadata. We were talking about metadata. This is what metadata is.
Mm-hmm.
So They can program AI to where 70% of people like the color blue. So if AI throws out something, let's say, everybody wants blue, make yourself blue, 70% of the people will agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't agree with the blue, then there's something wrong with you.
You're one of those red staters or something, right?
Yeah, you're an outcast. You know, you're open-minded. You don't think within the confines. And I mean, it's just nonstop of what can be done with it.
Yeah.
And going back to this. Is what's happened with Trump coming in? I know you're not a fan of Trump. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, so we got to disagree on that one. But okay, no big deal.
Yeah, he hasn't tried to kill us yet.
No,
give him a couple of years, and he'll do it. I think. Yeah, go ahead. We're the confidence stage right now. He's building up our confidence before he sticks the jab in our back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? At least it's been fun because I can't wait to watch the news anymore. It's like if I wanted to become a mass media mogul, I would start putting like those sitcom laugh tracks to what these politicians play.
Yeah.
But going back to what's happened with this USAID and all this other that's going on, is Elon's teams have gone in there and seized the backdoor keys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're changing these keys, and the old keepers of the keys are now locked out.
Yeah.
They can't go in there and do their dirty deeds. They can't go in there and fund $40 million research for transgender cockroaches and stuff. And, you know, suddenly they are dealing with the problems that they've created for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And these politicians are losing their minds. They're losing their slush funds and their other things, too. So to listen to them and the comments they're making is hilarious. They're saying this is a threat to democracy. Wait a minute. The deadlock of democracy is transparency.
Yeah. Stephen Miller had a great comment about that. He was asked that on Fox News, and he said, okay, so they're saying Elon Musk is unelected. He goes, so what? He's there serving the president in the executive branch. He said, I'm doing the same thing. I'm not elected. None of these people in his cabinet are elected. Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, was not elected. He goes, that doesn't mean anything. It means that the president gets to choose who's in his staff. And he says, you know who's unelected? The CIA, the NSA, those people, and not only are they not elected, he didn't say it, but they're not constitutional. That's the key thing.
Well, you remember under Biden, he had John Kerry flying all over the world talking about climate change. He wasn't elected to do anything. He was appointed just like Musk.
That's right. And if he ratified, and John Kerry had the power to ratify a treaty, supposedly, do it all by himself. He didn't need to have 60 senators to help him. He just did it by himself. He had an amazing, you want to talk about unelected and unconstitutional. He was a personification of that. But yeah, I agree. And of course, the interesting thing about this is that as Musk is locking them out of their back door, and he's putting in a new back door. And to me, that's the question then becomes, it's a Boromir problem, right? Who's got the ring of power? And what is that ring of power going to do when it's taking advantage of human nature? You know, so I'm as worried about Elon Musk as I am about the Democrats, quite frankly, because he's just got a different set of things that he could do there. I would like to see these government agencies cast in the fire of Mount Doom rather than taking the power and trying to use it yourself. I think that's what they ought to do, is just throw it into Mount Doom. But even USAID, they're talking about keeping it. They said, we're going to fire 14,000 people, but we're going to keep 200 around. Well, how long is it going to be before those 200 are doing the dirty deeds that, but for different masters,
that's
right?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, what I compare what Elon's done is, you know, if you have an apartment and you don't pay the rent, all they do is go in there and change the locks.
Yeah, that's right.
Your key no longer works. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
He's just rekeying the stuff.
That's right. But, and he's got the keys now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a new landlord in town.
Yeah.
I've dealt with Elon before. I mean, I don't know if he remembers it or not, but I told you I was one of the first into compact computers. Well, the first thing Elon did, one of his first ventures, was he bought up the relics of Compaq. Hmm. And at the time, this was about 97, 98, I was off on other things. He contacted me. He came across a bunch of programming I had done and wanted to talk to me about it and this, that, and the other. And just from the impressions I got from him, Elon's a pretty decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really okay. He's made billions of dollars. I'm sure he's got a little dirt on him someplace. But overall, I don't think Elon's out there trying to enslave the world or poison us all. Unlike some other people.
Well, I don't know. He's been involved with the mRNA stuff. He had a company called CureVac, and he was pushing that kind of stuff. I kind of my spidey senses start tingling when somebody talks about hacking into my brain or telling me that I've got to join with AI in order to survive. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I think we're done with this guy at this point in time.
The brain chip sort of altered my view on him.
That's I guess the mechanism by which we become one with the machines as part of the singularity. I think that's kind of interesting, you know, the fact that the PayPal mafia is, to a man, it seems like that they're all focused on this transhumanism vision of the future. It's take science fiction seriously. They take it like an instruction manual, I think. That's their plan for world conquest.
Well, you know, you were talking. Yeah, I better drop that one. I'm trying to keep my incognito on some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess the interesting thing is what everybody is saying, you know, what is Apple going to do? Because what this judge has done is he's threatened Apple, I guess, employees with jail time if they even talk about this. And so I guess I don't know how this information got out. Somebody released this, and when it was released on Twitter, the guy who put it out, Sayer G, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he put it out, and somebody hacked his, he put up a thread of about, I don't know, 13, 15 different posts and everything. And the first five or six, you sent it to me yesterday afternoon. And when I looked at it, the first five or six posts were gone. And then he followed it up and he said, well, somebody took this down, but, you know, here they are on a reader app, you know, where you can thread reader, where you can see all of them. And so you can see what he put up. But I think that's kind of interesting. I wonder who in the world would not want you to know about.
The ironic part is he was posting it to Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah. And it was after Elon Musk noticed it. Yeah.
Somebody, okay, he is posting it on X, which Elon Musk reads or owns, and Elon Musk is reading and actually replying to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about the hacker big balls. Somebody that did that had some real gas to go on to Elon's forum, mm-hmm, and take it over like that.
Yeah, yeah. He said his ex account was hacked right after Elon shared the article. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, they have all this tracking technology. I mean, even the old VPNs won't work on this type of stuff. So someone is thinking they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof to go on there and start poking Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, ooh, there's something serious behind this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when we look at it over, and I've talked about this many times, when you look at the ability to control people with propaganda and surveillance, and how much more effective the propaganda was when they went from newspapers, which were already pretty effective, you know, they used newspaper propaganda to get us into World War II, but then you get radio, and that gets a lot more effective, and then you get radio and TV still even more effective. But then they still had to try to gauge whether or not their propaganda was working, and what the internet gave them, internet designed and imagined by a DARPA psychologist in the early 1960s, J.C.R. Licklider, what the internet gave them was an ability to get the feedback and to precisely understand, like you were talking about earlier, how many people like the color blue as their favorite color. So that allows them to look at close the feedback loop precisely so they can understand whether or not their lies are working, and they can fine-tune those lies and propaganda. And so that's a very, very important thing to them, and that's why you had all of the CIA create its own venture capital firm, InQtel, and you had NSA and CIA and intelligence community people who were all over the board of directors of these venture capital firms that were funding the startups for the search engines and for social media. And now they're at the point where they can mine that data so much more accurately and quickly with AI, they just can't restrain themselves. I mean, it's just, you know, get out of my way.
They're actually attempting to steer society in the direction that they see fit.
That's right. And they don't care who knows it.
Organic. No, they'll turn around and call you a conspiracy theory or something, mm-hmm, or a conspiracist, or they, you know, they, I think they're doing away with this ESG stuff, but, you know, it's this conform or be cast out, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, you add in brain chips, oh, man, we're really getting off into really far-fetched things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's always been the focus of of the CIA and these other people is to try to read minds. I mean, they went out and got psychics and all the rest of this stuff and remote viewers and all this occultic stuff, as well as using drugs to manipulate people. They've always been about drugs and the occult, and especially as we see with USAID, we always knew that that was the CIA, and now they're seeing how they had manipulated elections in Brazil and how they had done this all over the place. It's just part of their the way that they operate with coups and assassinations and with propaganda and paying off journalists and news organizations all over the place. Where's my check? I don't know.
Yeah, it's it's to the point where probably going. Man, I don't even know where to start with this. It's such a complex issue. But I'm thinking if people will hold on to their critical thinking, believe their own eyes, believe their own ears, and not let someone push them off dead center with it, that's going to be. Well, you were talking about religion earlier, how you got the new Department of Religion, whatever they got going on.
His faith office.
You've got to basically stake your flag and say, I know right from wrong. I know my reality versus their reality, and just not waver from it and be willing to accept whatever penalties come with it.
Fear not. That's my reality. That's what the Bible says. I don't know how many hundreds of times the Bible says, fear not, because that's the way they rule you, is through fear. I had a listener who asked.
Exactly.
I had a listener who asked if I would ask you about new computers, nanotech and new computers. I'm assuming kind of that he's thinking of quantum computing. Do you think that they're close with that? What are they going to be able to do with that? Of course, if they have a breakthrough, they're not going to tell us, I guess. They're going to use it for their own advantage for a while, don't you think?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked that question. Because I'm fixing to throw out there something that's not even on the board. I've tested a lot of laptops and servers and things like that, trying to figure out which ones are the most secure. And there's a little family-owned computer or laptop maker called Nemo, N-E-M-O.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bare bones. I mean, they're top quality. Don't get me wrong. These computers will do anything you want.
But they're simple. But they're simple.
They are like we used to build them.
Mm-hmm.
You can close ports. You can open ports, which basically back doors. You can configure them the way you need. And I would not recommend using the Intel chips because Intel's notorious about having back doors. Go mm-hmm. with AMD. AMD, as far as I know, don't have back doors.
Hmm.
And these are some of the cheapest laptops on the market. And yet, what you get is you get your laptop and all your toys and bells and whistles on it. But the only thing on the hard drive is Windows. Now, if you don't want Windows, you can go with Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you have to put on your own drivers, and you have to configure it the way you want. Or you could just take it straight out of the box. Well, my point is, they have not. They're the only people I know that are not selling you a bunch of bloatware and spyware and back doors. Mm-hmm. So, he asked that to me, and I use them. I really like them. I mean, they're not as great as Alienware and all these other guys, but you have more control over your operating.
That's good. M-E-M-O is the name of the company.
But they also had intrinsic built-in flaws. Like, their Wi-Fi is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really want you to use their Wi-Fi. They want you to go out and buy a Wi-Fi dongle or a stick. So when you're not using it, you can unplug it, and you're not being air-gapped. You're not connected to the Internet. When you don't want to be connected to the Internet, you're not.
That's good.
And you're not getting forced updates from Microsoft. You know, we went over all this. You know, these people are loading onto your hard drive.
Oh, yeah. I just got notification that they're going to stop support of Windows 10. I said, yes, maybe now they'll stop forcefully updating my computer. The only thing I use. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. They, when they mean stop supporting Windows 10, that means suddenly all your apps and updates and stuff like that it takes to make things work quit functioning. It's like Twitter puts out an update, now you need to, we're doing this differently, but we don't support Windows 10. So you're like, oh yeah. I've got a gun to my head, I got to go update the Windows 11.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that, the only thing I use that computer for is for music, because I wanted something that was going to be fast but not expensive, and so Whistler put together a system for me. And, you know, I have to get on occasionally and download just like an instrument or something like that. So that stuff may change. But if I just stick with what I've got, I'll be fine if I don't upgrade anything, that I don't have to worry about their operating system. But, you know, when you talked about, you know, the chips being susceptible to stuff, that was one of the key things that I couldn't get people to pay any attention to back when Trump was having a fit about Huawei and 5G. He said, oh, they're going to use Huawei to spy on everybody. And it's like, well, you're concerned about that because your chips are going to be spying on everybody. And quite frankly, it's, you know, it's spy versus spy. And I think that personally for me, since China is across the sea, I'm far more worried about the American government spying on me than I am Huawei spying on me. I feel that same way about TikTok. You know, it's I'm more worried about the platforms that they control that are there.
Well, I'm not too worried about China because I speak Texan, and I'm quite sure it don't translate to Chinese very well.
That's right. You don't have any Mandarin going on there. He also asked if I would talk to you about the dead internet. In other words, you know, are we going to get so swamped with bots that you know, it's going to be a dead internet? And of course, kind of a corollary to that is artificial intelligence scraping all of this information from us and using it for its compute to, you know, it's just repositioning all that. And it needs to have human data. Once you start flooding the internet with AI data, synthetic data that's not human, you've already had several different studies. I talked about this about a year and a half ago. They said, well, it's kind of like, you know, people eating other people, cannibals, the Yakov-Creutzfeldt disease or the mad cow disease. If you start cannibalizing stuff, they start getting dumb. And they've had some studies that indicate that that might be a factor. What do you think about that? What do you think about the dead internet or the, you know, the synthetic data?
To bring it all home, he asked about quantum computing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are to combine quantum computing with AI, with the dead internet, as you say, which we're tinkering with the dead internet now, you don't know if you talk to a bot or not.
Yeah, that's what Whistler said. Some people say the internet's dead already, zombie internet. Yeah.
Well, let me see if I can put this in simplistic terms. I mean, I try to do it simplistically. Let's say I have scraped all your data from your social media post and talking to various people, and I want to artificially create your perfect mate. Looks, attitude, personality, everything like that. And then I would inject that perfect mate into your presence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, boom, you found Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, and you're totally smitten by it, and you start sharing your innermost secrets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to a bot, or you're talking to an AI-generated whatever they're going to call it. And then you insert this artificial intelligence in the quantum computing. And suddenly you're head over heels in love with something that don't exist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a movie.
See where I'm going with this manipulation? It's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a real issue. It's a real issue. There's going to be a lot of AI porn and things like that. And,
oh, yeah.
And Yeah, already there, I guess. And Yuval Harari has openly said that's where we're going to control people. We'll control you with entertainment. We'll control you with games. We'll get you out of the real world so you don't get in our way. You know, that's what's there. I think that's how it's going to be used.
Well, this is like digital crack. Now, you add in the brain chip, and you add in all this behavior modification, this stuff could be going on while you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then we look at the people that are doing it. These politicians, for instance, with all this that's been going on, their gravy train's done, ran off into the sunset right now. They're losing their minds. Well, they've lost control of the stuff that they thought they had control of. And that's what we're tinkering with right here, except with the dead internet and AI and the data scraping and all this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was an interesting movie a few years ago called Her. And I think it was Joaquin Phoenix, I think is the guy's name, the actor, I think, who was in it. But I remember the plot line better than I do who was in it. It wasn't all that interesting a movie, but the plot line was interesting, especially because of the way that Ray Kurzweil responded to it. Ray Kurzweil has been kind of their marketing guy for the singularity. And the premise of the movie is that there's this AI that the human character starts talking to, and it, like you said, it's like digital crack. It gets addicted to talking to this AI to the extent that he doesn't want to talk to other people. It becomes his entire life. And then the AI, now this is where Ray Kurzweil's vision comes in, the AI gets smarter and smarter and essentially becomes too smart to want to deal with him, and finds that it's much more interesting to deal with other AI, and it just goes off and leaves them alone. And so this is Ray Kurzweil saying, see, it's not a threat to humanity. It's not going to become super intelligent and try to kill us all. It's just going to become super intelligent and find other super intelligent beings and goes off and leaves us alone. But again, I don't subscribe to that idea, but that to a large degree, that kind of digital crack that was illustrated in that movie is something that I think is going to be a real challenge to the vast majority of humanity, the vast majority. Just look at how susceptible we are to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's not all that interesting to many of us, I guess.
Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't know if we're living in reality imitating art or art imitating reality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I was out. I mean, I could care less. I didn't even spend 30 seconds on the Super Bowl yesterday. But I was wearing green. I didn't even realize it. And I stopped at a gas station, and this guy standing there goes, "Wow, you're a Phillies, Philadelphia fan." I'm like, "What?" "Oh, we're going to beat the Eagles." I'm like, "Okay, go for it." And he was just trying to provoke me because I was wearing green. And it's like, dude, go away. Just leave me alone.
I had that kind of happen to me with a guy. I was wearing one of the InfoWars 1776 caps that I wore when I was at the Bundy Ranch and stuff. And I was wearing that. And I walked into a convenience store, and the guy starts asking me questions about the 76ers, which I think are a basketball team. I wasn't even sure, but it's like 1776, and he starts saying, "Well, how about the such and such, who's playing center?" And it's like, what are we talking? Oh, okay, he thinks that I'm following a basketball team. But it doesn't even occur to him that 1776 didn't even ring a bell with him. It's all just about the 76ers. I guess he doesn't even know where that came from.
But that's how programmed we've been on stupid stuff. I mean, it's like, dude, I'm just trying to get some gas. I have no clue what you're talking about. But that's the programming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's to say, I did not watch the Super Bowl. I don't care. And people are like, what's wrong with you?
Well, one of the things that...
wrong with you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they are manic on it, whether you look at the EU and its Digital Securities Act, or you look at the UK, all of them are focused on this. And remember when Musk said he was going to buy Twitter, You had Thierry Breton. I call him Conspiracy Thierry Breton. But he came, this Belgian bureaucrat, went to Austin and told him, well, we got this Digital Services Act that's coming online, and you're going to do what we tell you to do. And remember that? Elon Musk was like, yes, I will do it. Yes, I'll do it. And we know that he works for the Chinese, and I think, because it's his business. You know, he wants his business is selling to government and giving them whatever they want. And so I don't trust any of these guys because they've got a different agenda, all these technocrats. And what do you think about this with the Trump inauguration? I mean, I've never seen so many billionaires line up, all these corporations line up like they did at the Trump inauguration. And it was pretty obvious, considering what we know about their politics and what they've done in the past, that this is just an opportunistic scenario. But I'm kind of concerned about how all of these bad actors are coming together, thinking that they're going to get whatever, you know, Trump has got there. They can all have access to it. What do you think about that? All of the big tech guys hanging out with Trump now, bowing the knee.
I could sum it up in a sentence. The United States dollar has no loyalty to anyone.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter if it's Biden. It doesn't matter if it's Trump. It doesn't matter. They have no loyalty or allegiance to anyone other than their own self-interest.
That's right. That's right. And it's why there's so much money in Washington. It's why these elections, the politicians are spending $1 billion each now. You know, when only 20 years ago, 25 years ago, George Bush was accused of stealing the election when his campaign was $100 million. Now you see that for congressmen on a regular basis. Not forget about senators and the president. It's because there's so much money in Washington, and it really is just kind of a metric of the corruption that is there, because these guys are going to, politicians, your best return on investment you can get anywhere.
No, these politicians do not care whatsoever about the American mainstream, and it's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that. I mean, there are some out there I really like Massey and these others that are just basically free thinkers, and I don't think they're malicious trying to harm the American people.
Where do you think this is all headed? You know, you contacted me about a year and a half before all this stuff happened with COVID and said, hey, I'm hearing a lot of chatter about Dark Winter 2. And you know what Dark Winter 1 was? And I was like, yeah, I know. So it's like, are they getting ready to go real with this? And they did. I mean, it wasn't a real pandemic, but they did everything that they said. We're going to lock everybody down until we got the vaccine that's they're going to roll out on an emergency basis and so forth. And so that really was there. So, I mean, are you getting any chatter now about what you think might be coming around? Does it look like they're going to do another pandemic on us, or are they going to, how are they going to change it up? I've looked at this, and I kind of, right now what they're doing with bird flu and killing all the chickens and things like that, everything seems to come back to eliminating the independent small farms, whether that's coming after raw milk or whether it's coming after backyard chickens or even small farmers. The big guys can weather this stuff, and the big guys will put the vaccines in the chicken, they'll put it in the cows and all the rest of this stuff. So where do you think this is headed, or is it going to be something else? Is it going to be a war? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mentioned this, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and right now with this bird flu, it's like it's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looks like a test balloon. Because what I've seen, and I've sent it to you before, I don't know if you used it or not, is if you look up into the Arctic, especially in Russia, they're turning up all these really well-preserved mammoths and things like that. They look like they just fell over and died yesterday. They're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also turning up more of these pathogens and these germs and viruses and stuff like that that froze during the Ice Age. So, from what I see, this is one that they're really putting a lot of credence in, is the next really bad scare is going to be, well, we defrosted some unknown pathogen, and it has 1,000% kill ratio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we think we've got pills to fix it, so come get your pills and injections. And
I think that'll be the story. I think that's one of the reasons why they're pushing all this lab leak stuff so much. And, of course, they've also got this Jurassic Park type of organization. What was it? They're trying to, they're going to bring back the woolly mammoth and things like that, they said. So they've raised $10 million to do that, so they want to do a Jurassic Park, I guess an Ice Age park. Maybe that's what Trump wants Greenland for. He wants to put the woolly mammoths up there. That's it. That's where it all comes together. Getting back to the backdoor stuff, Jason Barker, good to see you, Jason. Nice as a storm. He said, we had to replace all of our Cisco routers in the Army because of backdoors. You would all be appalled at how many millions or billions were spent to do that. Some of those routers were brand new. They may use Cisco again now, but in the mid-2000s, they realized there were hardware backdoors in them. And when we outsource chip manufacturing, he says, to any nation, there will be backdoors built into it. And we've talked about that. You know, there's a lot of different backdoors for a lot of different functions, aren't there?
Yes, and it comes down to, you know, Jason's absolutely right. When you go to military grade, these guys are on a whole different level than our retail stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the scary part is, you know, I got to go back to Barnaby Jack for a moment, probably just deal with my look a shiny thing. you remember Barnaby? He was actually exposing these ATM hacks back in 2007, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
How he got the back doors to them, they were in the manuals. So he goes and buys a bunch of these ATMs, and at a black hat, he's like, what's this? So he punches in the code, and it just shoots out money. You know, what was there for anyone to have? Their back door was actually published in the user manuals. So going back to what he was saying about Cisco, I don't know if they had those published in the manuals. I'm aware of what he's talking about, but it was not on a expert level. But if they had those codes published in the user manuals, even classified or not classified, how do you know who's read it? Who actually had that code?
Mm-hmm.
You may have 1,000 people with that backdoor code.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, your most up-armored, most sensitive piece of data has been, or hardware, has been corrupted because you don't know who has the keys to it. This mm-hmm. is the same thing we had happen with USAID and apparently some of these other agencies that Elon and the big ball squad's moving in on. They're
mm-hmm.
changing the key, just like locking them out.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we've talked about this in the past. Developers will put those back doors in. I did it for the system that I wrote for our stores so that you never get locked out. And then they'll give another backdoor, let's say, to the owner of the business that buys the computer. And you typically, in many cases, as we've talked about this in the past, frequently governments demand backdoors as well. So all these different people have backdoors into the system that are hard-coded in there, and they can get in and change things. And so it's a very concerning thing, especially since everything's got to be on computer now, right?
Wait just a minute. Do you remember a year or two ago I sent you a manual for the railroads, for all the railroad
yes.
equipment?
Yes.
And it had all the everything you needed to just simply not even hack, just log on and play railroad with their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that nobody ever changed that? That manual's still out there?
That's the frustrating thing about your job. I know you told me that. The people hire you to find the vulnerabilities. You find the vulnerabilities, and they don't fix them.
Well, what they do is it's sold an analogy. They aren't really – they don't get concerned. Let's say you have a business, and you're sitting here running your business. One day you look out your window, and the business across the street's on fire, burning down. That's when you get a little more concerned about your own security.
Mm-hmm.
So – you have to have an actual hack for these guys to take notice and make changes so their business don't burn down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really frustrating. That's why I don't pen test anymore. It's because you go in there, you spend, I don't know, weeks, 2 weeks, writing out all these reports saying, here's your problem here, and they hand you a check and smile and say, thank you, you did a very good job. We ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way our institutions operate now. And that's really what I thought was going to happen with DOGE, because I've seen these commissions come and go. This is definitely different. You know, he's taken over these systems and he shut them down. And part of it is because everything has become so computerized, and because he's a computer guy and he's got a lot of computer guys who work for him. They're Hillary Clinton said, he's got people in there that are so young that they're not allowed to rent a car. And it's like, lady, this guy could turn your car around so that you couldn't drive. He could drive you right off the cliff if he wanted to, because of his ability to hack stuff is really what's going on here. She thinks that age just has something to do with it. I guess it's just projection.
This is fun. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that you're not immune to this. And out of the act of self-preservation alone, you want to get control of this again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is so, to me, so simple, so basic, and yet you have all these quote experts piling crap up to the point where the simplicity is lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing, no one ever questions who's an expert. I'm not an expert. I never claimed to be. But all these people on the talking heads, I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you all are.
Well, you know, as we're talking about how easy it was for Musk and some talented programmers to take over the U.S. government, what does that say about our future?
Well, yeah.
We get into a hacking contest. I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with things in the future. But my point is that they're creating extreme vulnerabilities, and they've done this in the Pentagon and other places. They're all vulnerable when they become so dependent on the computers, especially because, as you pointed out, there's always vulnerabilities that people are going to leave open, and there's going to be careless processes that are done, and people are going to compromise the security. Even if it was programmed well, there's going to be somebody who's going to write the passcode on the wall of the computer, and you're right next to the computer.
Well, the thing about it is, It was safe, and it was not compromised and all that, as long as the powers that be had control of it. Now that they don't have control of it, and you've got a Luddite like Elon running around, it's like, oh my God, the building's burning down. Well, it's been burning down the whole time.
Yeah, instead of it being the Chinese government or some hackers, now it's Elon that's got it, so they're freaking out. But yeah, I think we ought to all be concerned about how vulnerable it is, and we all be concerned about the concentration of power. I'm not interested in just seeing one dictator replaced and another one put in, and replacing that person. It's we got to find a way to genuinely reform stuff, and that's one of the things that concerns me, is the fact that these institutions are remaining. They're changing them, they're downsizing them maybe, and I guess a lot of people have said, well, the bottom line is that they want to automate it even more AI.
AI take it over, then everybody has lost control of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that seems to be the common thing. You know, we've had Mark Andreessen say, the purpose of this is to crush human wages, but that's going to be good. It's like, in what world is that good? I don't know.
Yeah, we can go.
That's a whole nother topic, and we got less than a minute left. And so, but it's always great having you on. And, we'll have to get back on and have to explore the options of what happens when they crush human wages and they tell us to join the machine or die. I think that's going to be coming faster than people realize, don't you?
Remember, no matter what happens, AI says blue's the most popular color, so start making blue pants for everybody to live under the bridge.
That's right. Tell them what they want to hear, and then communicate with people outside the digital world. I think that's one of the things, the key takeaways. I'm you know, electrical engineer, but I'm getting, I am definitely become a Luddite when it comes to this stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, Goat Tree. Always entertaining and interesting to talk to you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. It's time to buy some metals with fiat dollars before they come to their senses. Go to davidknight.gold to get in touch with the wise wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold.